This week's mailbag comes to us from Merrill. I am the owner of a law firm with about 10 employees, and I am the bookkeeper, co-owner. I do all of the accounting and financials. I do the office management, HR functions, and I make ownership level decisions. The Friday Workbox has made all the difference in my job. Seriously. Mind blown. My whole life is better. World altering better. I keep dragging my lawyer friends into the Friday Workbox family because it is just that great.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Are you ready for the last kind of work? I'm just going to warn you, this podcast is going to be pretty short because I don't have a lot to say about this one. The last kind of work that we have that is determined as part of housework is home maintenance. Home maintenance tasks are tasks that the owner of the property will be responsible for in order to increase value. So for you, if you own a home, your home maintenance is going to be repainting the house, getting a new roof, buying new carpet, getting a new HVAC unit. Like, all of these things are related to home maintenance. What I've determined as far as home maintenance is related is that it is optional. Like, you don't have to do home maintenance. But if you own a property, it is in your best interest to keep up with the home maintenance, because when you want to go and sell that property, you will get a higher return on your investment. So home maintenance is really kind of an investment strategy. You can do the work yourself or you can hire it out. This is definitely the thing that most people, if they hire anything out, home maintenance is the thing that they hire out. This is also the kind of work that falls more to men than women. Of all the work that we've talked about, the majority of it is done more by women than men. And this one is definitely done more by men than women, and also more often hired out than any other kind of housework that we have talked about. Home maintenance is a value add. And I remember when we moved into our house years and years and years ago, we were in our first year of living there, and Greg and I were deciding about if we were going to replace the linoleum floor in the kitchen, and we wanted to put in, at the time it was new, the Pergo laminate wood flooring. And my dad said to me, he said, whenever you have an idea for a home improvement that you want to make, make it sooner rather than later so that you can enjoy the home improvement instead of making it right before you sell the house. I always remembered that. And we did. We put in Pergo flooring. That was when wood laminate was like brand new. This is like 25 years ago. And it still looks good today. Like, it just now is looking like maybe we should kind of replace it in a couple of areas. But for the most part, you'd be like, your floor looks really nice. I cannot believe your floor is 25 years old. It was one of the best investments that we made early on in our marriage, was to do that throughout the whole first floor of our house. And home maintenance expenses like that are really, really big. Like, think about a new roof. Our house is all cedar siding. So when we have our house painted, it's a lot of money. Getting new carpet, even just getting the carpet cleaned, getting your HVAC, your heating and ventilating cleaned, like changing the filters every month. All of those kind of home maintenance things are in the best interest of the landlord or the homeowner. So this kind of work, if you rent, you won't have to worry about home maintenance. And that is a huge, you know, reason why people lease a car instead of owning, or rent a property instead of owning, is because they don't have to have the home maintenance expense, because it is an expense and it's usually done by someone who is a professional. Usually anything home maintenance related is not going to be a little bit of time or a little bit of money. It's usually like you're going to save and you're going to do this big thing this year. Another thing that I've noticed personally, since we've owned our home for 25 years, is that home maintenance, while it's optional, it doesn't really go away. So you can, there were years where we weren't able to do any of our home maintenance. And then when we got back to being able to afford to do it, like it was so expensive to catch up on everything that we had deferred or delayed. And so while it is optional, eventually you're going to need to pay to get it done, or you're going to need to do it yourself because the thing that you're fixing is going to eventually break, or you're going to want to sell your house and you need to have everything cleaned up and maintained in order to sell your property and get back the investment that is in it. And as you do those home maintenance tasks, it increases the value of your property and it reduces your stress. So again, these are really expensive things to maintain, usually in home maintenance. They're not related to cleaning. They're not related to organizing. They're not related to tasks of daily living. We're talking about carpeting, putting in new flooring, maintaining your heating and your air conditioning, your appliances. Like, these are huge purchases that when you purchase them, you just want to say, I'm not going to need to do this again, but you are. So my aunt is also very smart, and I think I've shared this story with you before, but it bears repeating. I remember it was just like an offhanded comment that she made, and I just thought, I don't even know where she got this information, maybe because she's in the real estate industry, but she said that you should take 5% of the value of your house, and that should be your home maintenance budget for the year. That's a lot of money. That means like if you have a $100,000 condo, you're going to spend $5,000 every year in maintenance. And you may say, there's no way. Well, maybe not in a condo, but I can tell you if you have a $100,000 house, you're probably going to spend $5,000 a year in maintenance. You don't think you are, but like just an HVAC unit is like, aren't they like $8,000? Like for us to get a new roof, I think it's like $8,000. For us to have our house painted was $10,000. Like, so if you're going to paint your house, that's 2 years worth of your maintenance. That means for 2 years, you're not going to need to buy a new oven or a washer dryer or a refrigerator or put in new carpets. Or it also would include like painting inside or cleaning your carpets. I know this is really not a fun conversation, is it? You're like, oh my gosh, why is my blood pressure going up listening to Lisa's podcast? Normally, she makes me feel better. Yeah, no. There are pluses and minuses of home ownership, of being a landlord, of owning property. The plus is the value of the property is supposed to grow over time, and it's an investment that when you sell it, you reap the reward of having invested your capital into this physical property or this car or whatever it is that you've bought. There should be an increase in value. And in order for that increase in value to happen, you need to keep up on the home maintenance. So Organize 365 leases our office. We're leasing our office in our warehouse right now. And we have an excellent landlord. Like, our office is so cute. If you see it on Instagram, like, we looked at so many properties that one day when my realtor walked me around to different offices, you would not believe how ugly and frankly scary warehouse space can be. Like, some of the places we went in, like the ceiling was falling down. I was worried there was asbestos in some of these buildings, which I know it can't possibly be. Like, you have to have that test or whatever. When we walked in this office, which has all this glass and is bright and these big windows and the warehouse like is drywalled and it's painted white, like it was like the heavens opened and the birds started singing. Like, I was just like, oh my goodness, this place is gorgeous. I can totally see growing Organized 365 in this space. Yes, it's a little bit more expensive. It's not hugely more expensive, but it's a little bit more expensive. And when we rented it, the landlord said to me, I know you guys are going to take care of this, because he saw how we were moving in. Like, I turned the conference room basically into an office slash living room. It's adorable. It looks like you're walking into a house. It doesn't have a big conference table in it. I probably spent less than I would have if I truly bought a conference table with 8 or 12 chairs or whatever on how I did it through all Wayfair purchases where it looks like an office slash living room. But it looks like a home, and we treat it like home. And, you know, we clean it and we keep it updated. And the landlord is like, I'm so excited to have you guys here because I know you're going to take care of my property. And when we asked him to knock down two walls, he was so happy to do it because he knew that we would be happier for this 4-year lease that we have. We've only been here 1 year, And he has already upgraded. There was something about the lighting, like if we did the lighting over time, it was going to save him money and be better on the environment. He did that. There was something else he came in and did about the HVAC unit. There was something about the roof. Like, he already has fixed the asphalt in the parking lot. He fixed the concrete ramps that were going in it. Things that I didn't even notice were starting to deteriorate. Like, he fixes them before you even notice they're a problem. And most landlords are not that way. Like, our last office that we were in, they did no maintenance whatsoever. And it was evident, like, the tenants weren't as happy. They didn't stay as long. It wasn't as safe of an area. We feel very safe here where we are today. And it's because we value this space and our landlord values this space. And as I look forward to, like, as Organize 365 grows, what I want our next office to look like, I've now gone to other business owners' offices and warehouses, and I've seen where they've moved from and where they've moved to, and if they've decided to stay as renting or owning. And there are pluses and minuses to all of that when you're a business owner. And I just see this home maintenance piece for your work and for your home. Like, Greg's stepdad leased his space until the last building he was in, and then he built that building for the company. And then when he retired, he sold the company to another company, obviously, but they leased the building back to him. So he retained income from that leased space for another 10 years. And then eventually they sold the building. And now my mother-in-law is able to have this money for her retirement, because my father-in-law has since passed, and the money is from the sale of the property that did grow over time. So it became her retirement. Your house is the same way. So that's like how a business owner does it. Your house is the same way. So just like in the very first podcast I did about the definition of housework, where we talked about cleaning, and I said that cleaning is anything that you can have a cleaning service come in and do, and it's not optional, and we have to have a certain level of cleanliness. If you choose not to have a cleaning service come in and do it, which most of us will not, then you are the de facto cleaning company, and you need to decide what level of cleanliness and how often and when you're going to do the cleaning. The same is true for home maintenance. If you are the landlord, you are the landlord of your house. I want everybody to think about the fact that you are renting. Like, you're living in a house and you're renting, and your landlord is going to maintain this house for where you're living. You, however, may be the landlord because you may own your house. But if you don't, then, like, if you're leasing your house or your condo or you're in a dorm, like if you're in a college dorm, you are expecting that the locks are going to work on the front of the door, that the fire alarms are going to work, that the fire extinguishers are up to date, like that all of these safety precautions have been put into place for you. So when you are thinking about your house, again, we're back to the household operations versus the household reference binder. The household reference binder for everything related to the house, if you were to sell the house, somebody else would get this information. Is that being maintained? Are the appliances maintained? Are you getting regular checks on your HVAC? Are you cleaning out, you know, the dryer ducts if you need to do that? Is the paint, like if you were renting from someone, would you be asking them to paint the inside or the outside of the house? Does it need a new roof? You know, do you have the proper insurance? All of those things are related to your home maintenance. So that is the fourth kind of housework. Again, this is the one that is, you know, you can defer it if you want to, but when you want to get the value out of your property, you're going to need to do the maintenance anyway. So as my dad says, if you're going to do it anyway, you might as well do it now so you can enjoy the improvements instead of the person who you sell it to enjoying the improvements. But there is seasonality. Like this one for me, having been a homeowner for 25 years, there have been seasons where all of our home maintenance is done and I don't have an ongoing to-do list. Very rare. And then there was over a decade where like we literally only did things when we absolutely had to. Like we did not replace the carpeting. If we need a new washer or dryer, we got that. You know, we service things instead of replacing, if at all possible. We put off getting the house painted. We put off getting the roof done. All of those things, because there just wasn't the money. This is also most often when we would use our second mortgage. Like, it's expensive to own property, and you kind of need—you don't need, but it's helpful to have access to credit. when these big bills come in. I mean, how many people just have $10,000 for, you know, a new roof or painting your house sitting in a bank account? Very few people. Like, I think, what is the U.S. average, $400 in a savings account? Like, not new roof money. It's expensive. You either need to save for it or, you know, we have often used 18 months same as cash whenever you're buying your appliances, things like that, and then we pay it off over the course of 18 months. Or when it's the case of getting a new roof or painting your house, we use a second mortgage, where you can write out a check for $10,000 and then you repay that loan based on your house using the equity that you have in your house in order to do that. This is definitely my area of least expertise, which is probably why this is the area that most people, if they can, do outsource these tasks and not do them on their own. The older Greg and I get, and we're not really that old, but I'm like, yeah, I don't want to try to figure out how to do these things, because in the past, it takes so much time to figure out how to do anything home maintenance related, and I don't even do it very well. So I'll leave you with this one last home maintenance related thing. Since the pandemic started, I, along with everybody in the world, have been updating all the home maintenance things that need to be done around our house because we're there, right? So we're like, hey, I think it's time to do this. So one of the things, my house was built in 1986, are that all of the doorknobs didn't work. Like literally all of them. Some of them weren't even in the hole anymore. Like we're just opening the door with no handle in there whatsoever. Like they were all horrible. And I had brass doorknobs all over our house. And like about a decade ago, I started replacing the doorknobs myself and I chose silver. So I would buy one or two doorknobs. You guys, doorknobs are not cheap. They're not cheap. So I would replace one or two at a time. Here's the problem. In the 80s, when houses were built, when you open your doorknob and you look at the door jamb that the door goes into, there's a little circle that the door closes into that the, when you turn the handle of a doorknob and the little thing goes inside the door so you can open the door, when you let go of that handle and that little, whatever, I don't know what it's called, comes out and goes in the hole on the other side so the door stays shut, that's a circle. That's 1980s. Now, they're all rectangles. So not on the door, but in the door jamb, it's a rectangle, not a circle. So when you replace your doorknob, if you've never done this before, you're going to be like, I cannot believe she can talk this long about this. This has been definitely a pain point of mine for the last decade. It's now a rectangle. So in order to replace the doorknob, you have to get out a chisel. You have to own a chisel, buy a chisel, get out a chisel. Then you use the chisel and you hit it with the hammer, because I watched a YouTube video, and you create in the door jamb a rectangle in order to put that in so that you can replace the doorknob. The doorknob handle is fine. That's easy to replace. It's the door jamb where this is a problem. So I've done this on like, I don't know, 6 or 7 doorknobs. And we have a ridiculous number of doorknobs as well, in case you're wondering. They look terrible. Like the doorknobs function. They open, they close, except for Joey's old bedroom door. That one I never did right. And even the professionals can't get that one right. I don't know what we did wrong on that one. But anyway, they open and they close now. And when you open the doorknob doesn't like jiggle and you're afraid it's going to fall out of the door. That part I fixed. Functionally, the doorknobs were working. So the pandemic strikes. This spring, in the spring of 2021, so it's a year after the pandemic, I'm like, I have had it. We have got to replace every single doorknob. Now, I think we can tell by the story I just shared, I should not be the one replacing the doorknobs, right? But who the heck replaces? There's no Google for replacing doorknobs in your entire house. Like, that's not a thing. Haha, I found a handyman. So I had a friend who we knew who had a handyman business, and he came over and I paid him to replace every single doorknob. And he came through and did an estimate. I think I paid $300. $300 that day? No, it must have been like $200. It wasn't a lot for his time. I think his time to do the doorknobs was like $150. The doorknobs were like $150. Anyways, beside the point. I was like, Tom, look at this. See this doorknob and this one and this one and look at this. He goes, oh, you didn't caulk. You guys, caulk. Because I was trying to perfectly chisel out in the door frame and replace it. I did as good as I could, but then you had to chisel a little more in order to get it in there, in order to get the door shut, and then you screw it in there and it looks terrible. for a decade because I didn't know you added cock when you were done. And I just looked at him and I said, cock. He's like, yeah, you need to cock it when you're done. I'm like, huh. All right, can you do them all? So I was like, now I had the knowledge. I actually could go do it myself. Do you know how long it takes me to do one doorknob? Like an hour. Like an hour. It looks horrible. Do you know how long it took Tom to do 18 doorknobs? Like 3 hours. He did all of them. All of them. He was like, doorknob, doorknob, doorknob. I was like, how do you do them this fast? I don't know how you do them this fast. So we took all the brass ones down, all of the silver ones down, and now I have oil rubbed bronze doorknobs through my entire house. When we first got them done, Craig walks through the house, and now all you see are like these black doorknobs all over through your house because you're not used to seeing the doorknobs and they're all new. And he's like, all I see are doorknobs. We don't anymore, but we did it first. And they're a bigger handle. He's like, and they're so big. Like, it's so hard to open the door because doorknobs are so big. It is funny how one small little home maintenance task like that can totally change the look of your house, how it functions, how you feel. It's just amazing. And you would never walk into somebody else's house and think about their doorknobs or any of that. This is just home maintenance stuff. Just a little rabbit trail story for you there at the end. We have covered all four kinds of work as I have determined them for housework. Housework is not cleaning, laundry, and ironing. Like that. That is such not a helpful definition for us to have any kind of conversation or make any meaningful change as far as how Americans are living in their houses today, how we can help and support them, how we can reduce the amount of time that is spent on housework so that we can do what we're uniquely created to do, which is not cooking, cleaning, and laundry, but they're necessary and they have to be done. So the four kinds of housework are, number one, cleaning. Anything that a cleaning service could do for you if you wanted them to. If you do not choose to use that service, then you are the cleaning service. How much time and to what level of cleanliness do you want to live? Number two are tasks of daily living. These are things that are related to you as the person. When you cohabitate with people or you populate people, then you tend to assume tasks of daily living or you abdicate tasks of daily living to other people that you live with for productivity reasons. As your life grows through different phases and stages, it is helpful to have communication with the other people you are cohabitating with to see if those changes in who is doing the tasks of daily living are still serving you. And then when you're looking at those tasks of daily living, do you have to do everything related to all those tasks? They're very hard to outsource and very expensive to outsource, but do you need to be doing them at all? And if you do need to be doing them, can you systematize or habituize any of them, which will reduce the quantity of time that you spend while still getting you great results? The third is home organization. You know, that is my favorite. And the one that it takes, you really have to have those first two down. Like, you have to have your cleaning and you have to have your tasks of daily living kind of at a point where you have a little bit of free time in order to invest in organization. Organization is what makes everything else easier and gives you more time. And then the final one is home maintenance. If you are a property owner, then you have home maintenance responsibilities that will usually cost you time and money now, but are an investment and a future payoff of money in the future. That is how I am now defining housework. Let the discussions begin.